This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, the New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's sharply, but a one-bound Sogard has it, and that will do it. Well, Toronto, rather surprisingly, comes in and wins the last two games, and they take the series 6-1. The final score here today, and the White Sox will be the next club in on Monday.
All right, welcome into the Baseball Reporters, 98.5, a sports hub. It being the summertime, in case you haven't noticed or listened with any regularity over the years here at the sports hub, the usual faces aren't in their usual places during the summertime. So it's Jim Murray in for Tony Maz. Thankfully, I have Matt McCarthy. He, the host of Hardcore Baseball. Check that out, 98.5sportshub.com. He is alongside as well. And in fact, Matt, you'll be doing most of the heavy lifting, much like you did on Friday.
I'm fully prepared. Let's go.
I know that you are. So as you just heard, the Red Sox coming off a pretty hideous weekend at home against the Toronto Blue Jays, the lowly Toronto Blue Jays. They welcome in the Chicago White Sox starting tonight with Ed Rodriguez on the mound. And we'll get to maybe like a preview of the White Sox and this series a little bit later on. But I think we should go back and revisit what a dumpster fire this was. Because more importantly, the thing that comes out of this weekend series to me, McCarthy, is that you look at this team and say, oh, I guess you're not back after all, huh? After all the talk and all the bravado, especially after the sweep of the Baltimore Orioles. And fine, okay, maybe you're starting to feel yourself. But I found that a little bit distasteful is too nana-y. I don't want to come off as like, too hysteric. But I just found it premature more than anything else.
A little laughable.
Yeah, after they swept the Baltimore Orioles, the team was feeling itself. And specifically, there was a quote from Christian Vasquez who walked by some of the reporters in the clubhouse after they wrapped up that win a week from yesterday and said, hey, I guess we're back. Hey, guys, I guess we're back. Are you? And okay, you want to still feel a little bit confident after you take 2 out of 3 against the Minnesota Twins last week, and you have a great bounce-back win after that 17-inning game in Minnesota. Okay, all right. Hell, the guy who's usually here, Tony Maz, started to buy in. You have to be a little bit skeptical with this year's Red Sox team, because what you got over this past weekend, I think, is more indicative of what they really are, McCarthy, at least to me. Nobody really should have been that surprised by the results this weekend, because the bullpen has been god-awful all season, and they were at their worst on Saturday, where they blow a 6-1 lead. And just as a team overall, they've been inconsistent all season.
Yeah, there's only one thing I find more distasteful than stupidity, and that's arrogance. And that's exactly what we saw from this Red Sox team in the wake of a lucky series win, a series sweep against the Baltimore Orioles, a team that you beat the bag out of last year, you should beat the bag out of this year, and should think nothing of it. But then they come back a week later and play the way that they did against the Blue Jays. You blow a 5-run lead on Saturday. You don't even show up on Sunday. This is who they are, okay? This is who the 2019 Red Sox are. We're halfway into the season. It's no longer early. It's no longer before Memorial Day. It's no longer a spring training hangover or anything like that. It's no longer even a World Series hangover. This is who you are as a team. All right, and if you expect them to all of a sudden just turn it around, I just don't know what team you've been watching. Okay, this is what you have with the 2019 Red Sox. They've got some problems on the roster that they need to address at the trading deadline if they're going to buy in, but they just don't have that type of edge. They think they're better than they actually are, and I'm sorry, you're not. This is who you are, Red Sox.
Yeah, and I'll read a bit from, expound a little bit further from your email on the Felgren Maz email chain, which we have each and every day as we prep for the show, from Matt McCarthy. I officially hate the 2019 Red Sox.
I do.
As you said, there's only one thing worse than stupidity, and that's arrogance. You're 8 games out of first place. You're not back, and you're not going to be back in 2019. This is who you are. You're an embarrassment. Sell at the deadline. This team is going nowhere. So, and I generally agree with you. I have pretty much had them buried since 2 weeks into April. Now, with the lay of the landscape in the American League, will they likely get a wild card spot? Yes. I don't think they're going to win the division. I've been I've been dug in on that for a while. I've said that even when I've been on your podcast. Again, Hardcore Baseball, check it out, 98.5sportshub.com. But the sell thing, okay, so that's easy for you and me and any other, you know, person that gets to squawk in front of a microphone that does this for a living. Like, you know, you feel how you feel, and this is what we do. But what about those that cover the team? This is where I find this really interesting, because this, I think, you need to take a little bit more seriously, and hopefully you're not offended by it.
I'm not offended at all.
But you know what I mean? Like, guys that are around the team, guys and gals that are around the team day in, day out, since spring training.
They're in the clubhouse, Jim. We know what that means.
And someone specifically like Peter Abraham, who typically gets a little bit defensive if you do try to say anything negative about the team, and he has in the past. All of a sudden, Pete Abraham is saying, sell. He's with you. Pete Abe says sell. From his column in the Boston Globe today, buy or sell, a makeover may be the better way to go. Just through going through some of the things that he does in his bullet point breakdown of what you can do and who you can sell, offer Mookie Betts an extension. And if he turns it down, trade him. The Red Sox could restock their system with this deal, and every team in baseball would have interest to some degree. He has more trade value now than he would after the season. And I just want to pause on this one, because he is their best trade asset.
Yes.
Without question. Coming off the MVP season, but having a down season so far. And I've tried to pay a little bit more attention over the weekend, because I was in and out of some of these games. But I did, like, Saturday was such a mess, you had to watch it. But Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe had noticed, he said, have you paid attention to how Mookie Betts has looked this year? Does he look like he's engaged like he did last year? Do you look at some of the body language? He just looks like a guy who's either regretting the fact he didn't take an extension, or he's just down and miserable and doesn't really like it here. You know, there's been some speculation on how much he even really likes playing in Boston. There's something up with Mookie Betts. So this part that Pete breaks down, that they're better off trying to sell on him now because he's going to lose some trade value after the season, I agree with completely. I don't think the Red Sox are going to meet what his number is. They know what the number is. They're not going to meet it. You have to look at this in terms of, okay, if it still starts to trend this way, I think the best comp for him is Andrew McCutchen. I've brought that up before, who had, you know, great start to his career, won the MVP, and it's kind of been downhill since. I don't want to be fooled with Mookie Betts. I'd rather be too early than too late on him. I don't think he's your overall best player. I think that Xander Bogaerts, who's shown me a whole hell of a lot, the season he's having, and is right now the best shortstop in the American League, maybe in all of baseball, and he's doing it after he got paid. He's their best player. You have a foundational piece in him and in Rafael Devers. Hell, maybe even in Andrew Benintendi if he can get his head out of his butt. But with Betts as your best trade asset, and you know if you offer him an extension and he's not going to stay, you got to move on from him, and I think sooner than later.
Yeah, you have to if you know the number and you know that you're not going to meet it. I mean, here's the thing. The Red Sox have more resources and more money than, you know, you could ever ask for. So in 2 years from now, if they say, you know what, we are going to pay Mookie Betts $375 million, we're going to be willing to do that, then you don't trade him. However, if you think that there's any chance that you're not going to re-sign him because you don't want to pay him that type of money and you don't want to sign him to the contract that you know he's going to get, then you need to trade him now, because the value will never be higher and you're not going to win a World Series this year. I hate to break it to you, Red Sox fans. They're not winning the World Series this year. So if Dave Dombrowski and John Henry and Tom Warner know that they're not going to pay Mookie Betts, and by this point they know. They must know his number. They know what it's going to take. If they know they're not going to pay him, then there's no point in hanging on. You're not winning the World Series this year. Trade him and maximize the value.
Yeah, and you know the game a hell of a lot better than I do and have been paying attention a hell of a lot more than I have as of late. And I'm with you on that, though. I didn't take much for me to say, like, this is just going to be a down year for them. They're not going to win the World Series this year. So if you can restock while still holding on to some of your best players, like Bogaerts, like Devers, and you'll still have, you know, a hell of a rotation, then you should consider this. Here's some other ones that Pete Abraham also offers up in his column. Buy or sell, a makeover may be the better way to go after a hideous weekend in which they drop a series to the Toronto Blue Jays. Offer J.D. Martinez more guaranteed salary to void his opt-out clause after the season. If he refuses, trade him. The Astros or the Tampa Bay Rays could use a hitter. May just trade him anyway. Martinez is going to be 32 in August and can't play the outfield very often because of his back issues. How much of is that a concern to you? So, well, you see a down year for Mookie Betts this year because of who the hell knows. With J.D. Martinez, it's clear. It's that reoccurring back issue. When you get into your 30s as a professional athlete, especially when you're putting so much torque on your back as a guy who's your power hitter, that's an issue to me. That's a major red flag. This is something else I would also explore.
Oh, God, this is a no-brainer to me, because you've found that Rafael Devers can be a legitimate middle-of-the-order bat for years to come. And Xander Bogaerts has entered his prime and is going to be a middle-of-the-order bat for years to come as well. Martinez, not only does he have the back issue, he still has the foot issue, which is why he has the opt-outs in his contract. That's why the Red Sox had so much trouble getting him under contract in the first place, because they were concerned about this issue that popped up. He's only getting older. He's likely going to opt out at the end of the year. This is absolutely somebody that you trade because you can get good value for him. I would absolutely consider it. And here's the thing. If Devers doesn't develop the way he has, or if Bogaerts, you know, kind of had another season, like a 2015, like an uneven year, then I'd say, okay, well, what do you do about your middle of the order for years to come? I feel like you found those answers. You don't need J.D. Martinez as much as you once did. I would absolutely consider trading him as well.
And another one real quick, too. Yesterday's starter, Rick Porcello, who balked, by the way, says, trade Rick Porcello before he hits free agency. The right-hander was eager to sign an extension in spring training, and the Red Sox never made him an offer. If there's no plans to bring him back, make a deal. Even a B-plus prospect is better than nothing. Now, this is a guy I've already convinced myself they're not going to be bringing back. So that's just, this is a formality at this point. He, much like the team, he's kind of been, to me, McCarthy, like the microcosm of the 2019 Red Sox, just completely inconsistent. This is another guy that, you know, you could offer up to, say, a Milwaukee, and I think you could get a somewhat decent return. Something else that should also be explored if they're going to sell in the next few weeks.
I think Porcello has a lot of value to a team that needs a number three starter, needs somebody who's been there and done that. He's like Al Horford, okay? You know, on a middling team, okay, it doesn't really work out. But on a championship-level team, Rick Porcello could help you win a World Series. If I'm the Milwaukee Brewers or I'm the Minnesota Twins and I could use a veteran guy like that that you don't have to pay too much for, you might have to give up you're not giving up the top prospect in your system, but maybe the fifth guy in your system, I'd be all over that. Rick Porcello would absolutely be the type of guy that I would want to target. You're not going to have to pay a Madison Bumgarner type of freight. If the Nationals make Max Scherzer available with 2 years left on his deal, you won't have to pay that type of price at all for Porcello. I think there's a ton of value for a guy like Porcello, and if I'm the Red Sox, you should absolutely explore trading him too.
All right, after an ugly weekend against the Toronto Blue Jays, you feel like this team's inconsistent going the other way, and you agree with not just me and McCarthy that they should sell. How about the guy that's around the team every single day, a guy who's usually defending all things Red Sox, Peter Abraham of the Boston Globe, who writes today, buy or sell, a makeover may be the better way to go. You ready to sell on Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez and others? Let us know. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. Also, in this hour in the Baseball Reporters tonight, I want to touch on a few other things. Marcus Stroman, yesterday, people didn't like his antics as he was staring into the Red Sox dugout in the sixth inning after he gets that strikeout, and people seem to be all up in arms about that. Me, I want more flair. I want more of those kind of actions in baseball. We'll get to that. Further proof that the netting needs to be from home plate to foul pole in every single Major League Baseball park after another incident this past weekend. Also we'll preview this series that starts tonight with the Chicago White Sox. All that and more. And your calls at 617-779-0985 in the Baseball Reporter tonight with Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Matt Barr.
You again?
Colton Brewer.
Who?
Ryan Brazier.
Brazier.
And those other guys.
It's back for 2019 in all new Wheel of Gutless Bums.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game? Now let's spin the wheel.
Barnes. Brazier.
Brewer.
Johnson.
Thornburg.
Brazier.
Barnes.
Hembry.
Brazier.
Thornburg.
Velasquez.
Hembry.
Johnson.
Today's Gutless Bum is
down the right field line.
Oh my God.
Way deep into the corner. That ball's gone. Again to center field. This one's going to keep on sailing up onto the batter's eye, and that is gone. Back-to-back home runs for Toronto to make it 6-4. Swung on a miss, but here comes the run. It gets underneath Vasquez. The run scores. Guerrero down a second. That'll make it 6-5. the glove. It's into right field. Here comes Hernandez. Bet scoops. He will on fire, and this ball game is tied. And that's going to force in a run.
That is brutal.
Here comes Biggio in to score. Now 3-2 on Vlad Guerrero Jr. Yeah. And he misses downstairs, and another walk. And another run is forced in.
That's four straight walks. Yeah, this is as bad as it gets.
Baseball reporters, 98.5 Sports Hub, Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy in tonight. So dial it back to what was really the worst of the losses to the Toronto Blue Jays over the weekend. And that's the Sox bullpen blowing a five-run game over the last three innings on Saturday, ultimately losing 8-7. It really was inexplicable, McCarthy. Like, they're up 6-1 in that game. I would imagine some people, if they wanted to do a little bit more day drinking, maybe they had some dinner plans, some friends in town. Like, okay, I've seen enough. I've gone to the ballpark for the day. I'm going to take off. And you check in, and, oh, I don't know, like an hour and a half later, and you look down, and you're like, what, huh? What, huh? What? This arson squad did it again? Because here's the thing. The crazy thing about this is this has already kind of happened. They're up 5-2 in the ninth inning against Cleveland series against the Indians earlier in the
season.
That
was awful.
And it was Brazier and Travis Lakins who absolutely melted down, kind of like how you saw the bullpen do on Saturday.
Yeah, it's a tough product to watch right now. And I made the point on Felger and Maz, believe it or not, Jim, as awful as this bullpen has been, they could be worse and they should be worse.
No, it's true.
I mean, if it weren't for Brandon Workman and Marcus Walden coming out of absolutely nowhere, you'd be left with Matt Barnes and that's it. Because, shocker, Ryan Brazier, who was pitching for the Hiroshima Carp in Japan 2 years ago, actually isn't an elite shutdown bullpen arm. I mean, is anybody shocked to find that out? This is what you get, unfortunately, when you adopt this Mickey Mouse bullcrap strategy. The Boston Red Sox, a team with more money than God, and I know they're up against the luxury tax, went with this approach to enter the year. It's unbelievable.
Well,
I mean, willfully, consciously, and deliberately, they did this.
Yeah, and I think even if a lot of it had to do with, and Dave Dombrowski has made these comments before, that they expected really the offense to carry the day, that's still negligent. Because a guy like Ryan Brazier, who obviously was such a big part of their postseason run last year, just for what he's turned into, like that guy more than anybody else to me, Matt, has turned into a pumpkin in this season. Like that's a guy that comes in the situation on Saturday, and he's looked at the guy that, okay, Brazier's going to stop the bleeding. And he immediately allows two walks with the bases loaded, and Toronto has, at the time, an 8-6 lead. So it's like, what is his role? Like, what is Ryan Brazier's role even in this bullpen right now?
They don't have roles, and that's the problem. I mean, they want to use Matt Barnes as the relief ace, which is a strategy, I mean, Jim, I like. Okay, you are going to pitch to the middle of the order no matter where it is. If it's in the 8th, the 9th, the 7th, it doesn't matter. You're our guy. You're our best relief pitcher. That's fine. I can understand that. But then what's the role after that? Are you ahead of Workman? Are you behind him? Are you ahead of Walden? Are you behind him? But it doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't work unless you have a defined closer who can be the ninth inning guy when you have your relief ace, and then everybody else gets in the pecking order behind that. The problem is they counted on Brazier to be the pitcher that he was last year, where we've seen it a million times in baseball, Jim. How many times do you see a guy just come out, have a great year in the bullpen, you can't really explain it, and then he turns back into a pumpkin the next year? It's happening again with Marcus Walden. Marcus Walden is the 2019 Ryan Brazier. And in 2020, Marcus Walden or Brandon Workman will probably go back to being Marcus Walden and Brandon Workman. That's what happens. But the Red Sox, for some reason, thought what they saw last year was legitimate from Brazier, and they didn't have any contingency plans. That I find unacceptable.
Yeah, so 42-37 in the year, a losing record at Fenway Park, which is also somewhat inexplicable, and now 18-19. A bad weekend in a series loss to the Toronto Blue Jays. They welcome in the White Sox tonight, and we spent the first segment talking about, should they sell? Matt thinks they should sell. I think that they should sell. And more importantly, Pete Abraham, he of the Boston Globe, who covers the team, is there night in, night out, day in, day out. He thinks that they should consider selling. A makeover may be the better way to go. So let me ask you, though, if you do feel that they should still invest and maybe try to add an arm or something like that, at the very least, Matt, isn't Saturday a wake-up call for Dave Dombrowski? Like, say, like they don't agree with us, and it should be a sell-off, and this is kind of a lost season, but to stock up for the next 5-10 years. if you do want to invest in this year's team, Saturday has to ring alarm bells for Dave Dombrowski.
It should. I hope so. But then again, we thought that last year they would invest in the bullpen in July, and they didn't. Yeah. They got Nathan Eovaldi, and everything worked out great. So, hey, maybe that happens again. If they do invest in this team, and Jim, I still think that's what they're going to do, because I don't think Dave Dombrowski is the type of GM, and Felger made the point, and it's true, who wants to sell off pieces. I know the ownership doesn't want to, you know, become sellers at the deadline. They can't stomach that thought. How do you sell that to your fans, even if it's the responsible and prudent thing to do to build a winner for the next 10 years, like the Yankees did in 2016 when they built the core of this team? I just don't see it happening. So if they go out and buy, they need to get bullpen help. They need, I'd say, two pitchers. If you want to get a starter and a reliever and put Nathan Eovaldi in the bullpen, fine. You need two guys. Will Smith is the number one guy on my board. He's the left-handed closer for the San Francisco Giants. He would be a perfect fit. He's cost-controlled. He's a rental. You could slide him in with Matt Barnes as co-closers. If you want to do the relief ace thing and, all right, well, we got, you know, power-hitting righties up in the eighth inning at the middle of the order. All right, Barnes, that's your inning, and, you know, Smith, you get the ninth. Or you flip it around depending on the day. I'm fine with that. You just need a better arm and somebody a little bit more established to slide along with Barnes into those roles.
Well, the Tigers have Shane Green. The Tigers, who you'll see soon after the or leading into the All-Star break, they stink. And you'd think, okay, maybe that's somebody you can target. But then again, considering how Dave Dombrowski left the Detroit Tigers, would they even want to deal with him? So something else you have to factor in here. But your guys' thoughts. You want to see this team sell after what feels like just another lost series. And it feels like the anomaly, really, at least to me, was the series when they had against the Minnesota Twins last week. 617-779-0985. Joe and Randolph, you're first up tonight on the Baseball Reporters. Hey, Joe.
Hey, fellas. Good evening. How you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
All right, so first off, I want to say that you ever hear the philosophy, it takes a town to raise a child?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, in this theory, it takes a city to run a baseball team. And unless you guys, and I mean all your colleagues on paper or in the air, we need to keep bashing the organization. Number two, I think we need to really get rid of Dombrowski. On top of that, we need to focus on building the team from not just from the bullpen and from the hitters, but from the farm system.
Which
right, we have no farm system, because if we want to compete with the Yankees or the Astros or any other team in the league, we need to invest in a deep farm system with a deep rotation.
Thanks for the call, Joe. And I'm going to drop you on that. So is this part of what you're looking towards the future here, that you would want to see some of these moves to replenish what is basically a barren farm system?
Yeah, I mean, you've got a reckoning coming with this team in the next year and a half, Jim. And we listed all the players who are going to, you know, who could walk: J.D. Martinez, Rick Porcello, Mookie Betts. The Red Sox don't have a farm system to replace any of those guys with. Do what the Yankees did in 2016. Sell off some of those veteran players, get top prospects for them. I mean, you know, Gleyber Torres is the perfect example. They got him from the Cubs for Aroldis Chapman, went out and re-signed Aroldis Chapman again. You're the Boston Red Sox. If you unload some of this salary, you stock up your system with elite top-level talent, preferably pitching talent, because you haven't developed a starting pitcher since Clay Buchholz, then those guys can come up next year or the next 2 years and join a team that you can then replenish with free agents. I mean, that you've got the resources. You're the Red Sox. You can do both. You can sell at this deadline, spend a whole bunch of money this offseason, the next two offseasons, and have that be the next core of the next great Red Sox team, a team that will compete for years to come. The Yankees did it. Why can't you do it?
Sharon in Connecticut on the Red Sox bullpen. Go ahead, Sharon. Hello, Sharon.
Our general manager.
Say again, I'm sorry. You were caught up.
We need to hire Matt McCarthy as our general manager.
Yes, he seems like a more responsible young man.
I mean, my God, will somebody listen to this guy, please? This is not a bullpen. This is a blow pen every single freaking night. It is so painful to watch. They had half the saves they had blown, they'd be in contention for the division right now.
Yeah, they're now up to 15 saves on the year. The only team worse in baseball, I believe, is the New York Mets with 17.
Who are obviously the biggest dumpster fire in baseball right now, so not exactly great company to be in.
Right. But no, there's really not too many guys that you can count on, at least with any consistency, because even Matt Barnes, who Friday night was, you know, nails, and he can show you some nights, you're like, okay, maybe he is the answer. Maybe he should be the de facto closer on this team. He just can't do it on back-to-back nights.
He can't do it alone. That's the thing. That he doesn't have enough around them in that bullpen. I like Matt Barnes. I mean, you want to use him as your relief ace, that's fine. I mean, I believe in his talent. I mean, he was obviously a critical cog in them winning the World Series last year. Listen, you know, the fire Dombrowski stuff, we don't need to do that.
Yeah, no,
he's a great general manager. He's built winners. That's fine. It's just that with everything coming up for this team in the next few years, Jim, it makes sense. It makes sense to sell now, to rebuild quickly, and then all of a sudden you're contending next year. Punt on 2019, and the 2020s will be damn good for you.
The whiny baseball nanas reared their ugly heads yesterday. It didn't have to do with the Red Sox basically having a no-show against the Toronto Blue Jays. It's that Marcus Stroman, starting pitcher for the Blue Jays yesterday, he had a little bit too much flair for my liking. So we'll touch on that along with more of your phone calls at 617-779-0985. Do you want to see the Red Sox now sell? Is it time to sell? 617-779-0985. We'll get to that right after the Sports Up headlines with Matt McCarthy.
The baseball reporters, Tony Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first.
Nunez, crowd's trying to jump into it, and he struck him out. And look at the reaction.
Oh, please.
Looking at the Red Sox dugout and yelling out as he skips into the dugout. 5-0, Toronto.
All right, Marcus Stroman, starter for the Blue Jays yesterday. Making people very, very mad. And there's history here between Marcus Stroman and the Red Sox. And really, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt McCarthy and Jim Murray in for Tony Mass tonight, the baseball reporters. It's more the Red Sox that have started this whole thing more than anything else because, what, he fast-pitched to
Chavis.
To Michael Chavis.
Yeah, the rookie.
Earlier in the season in a series in Toronto. And God forbid the game move faster, which it needs to anyway. But that... Alex Cora and the team were, you know, all butthurt about this and made comments after that. So Marcus Stroman, is, you know, he's very, there's a lot of flair with Marcus Stroman. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and I think baseball needs more of that. So there's a little bit of beef here. And so yesterday, gets the strikeout in the sixth inning. You hear the, rah! And boy, did it made the broadcast team upset. And I am such a Dennis Eckersley fan, both from his playing days and as a broadcaster. I refer to him as the Professor Matt. I genuinely like listening.
Oh, he's awesome.
To him do the games because you learn. Like, you really listen to what Dennis Eckersley is saying. You learn more about the game, the intricacies about the game when he's doing them. I wish he was doing every single game, but I understand it, that he can't. Be that as it may, it bummed me out to hear that Dennis Eckersley also had hair across his ass about the antics from Marcus Stroman yesterday.
That last pitch, yeah. Big screen toward the Red Sox dugout, and it takes off to his dugout. Happy that he pitched well today. I don't know, man. If he's turning around to his dugout and screaming, I can take it. You know, but when he's turning around to the opposing dugout,
that's tired.
Does he do that to every opponent if he has that kind of game?
I don't know. I mean, I've said before, he's an excitable guy. He's a competitive guy. I can't imagine the Red Sox are the only team that he does it to. I mean, I don't see him. I don't watch him on TV a lot and see him pitched against other clubs, but I know there's a lot goes on between him and the Red Sox dugout all the time.
Yeah, I think he probably does it to a lot of teams, but... Yeah.
I think there's something especially there with the Red Sox.
But he's got a little shimmy he does when he punches guys out, and he's got a little dog in him. He really got a lot of showman in him, whatever you want to call it.
He's also a very talented pitcher.
Yeah, a very emotional kid, probably. Yeah.
He's probably a guy that was on your club, you'd love him. But when you see stuff like that, it kind of really takes you off.
Yeah, I get it.
Why, though? So you have a guy like that in Chris Sale who plays with passion, but also, you know, left the White Sox after destroying his team's uniforms because he didn't like, you know, what, the thread count or whatever it was when he was with the White Sox. So, okay, Chris Sale, passionate, but what? Marcus Stroman's cocky. You don't like the antics. You know, I see people on social media like, oh, I wish he was, he could, I wish this was the National League so he could be taught a lesson. What lesson? It's just a little bit of flair. The guy's passionate about the game, much like how Chris Sale is. I loved this. I absolutely loved this. To Jerry Remy's credit, too, he's right. If he was on the Red Sox fans would love this. Oh, you would love this guy.
I'd love to have Marcus Stroman. You could. I'm totally with you, Jim. I think there's absolutely a place in baseball for this. But the problem I have with this whole thing is the Red Sox, it's how they feel about Marcus Stroman. And they hate this guy. Man, and I don't know why they freaking hate this guy. Alex Cora, I mean, the comments that he made about Stroman earlier on this year, let me see if I can get them up here. Yeah, he competes a certain way and people don't like it. It seems like whenever a team comes in, somebody screams at him. I don't know, that's just the way he acts. Cora cannot stand Marcus Stroman, and you kind of feel like it's trickled down to the rest of the team. Which, man, they don't like him at all.
Which I find ironic, man, because Alex Cora, and you know, I think this is one of his better attributes, is cocky.
Oh, he's cocky.
He's a cocky loudmouth.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That's what this kid is.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that he can't see that is beyond me. And it's so personal with them, which is so petty. Oh, it's so juicy, and it's so petty.
So, I don't know. I know a lot of Red Sox fans were upset about this, and maybe it's your frustration boiling over from, you know, the inconsistency of the team and what was a bad weekend in this series loss to the Blue Jays. But I firmly believe baseball needs more Marcus Stroman types, more of that type of excitement, more of that type of flair. He consistently makes whiny baseball nanas extremely mad. I didn't think that Dennis Eckersley was one of those type of baseball nanas. And in fact, he certainly wasn't when he played. He had that kind of passion. He had that kind of flair. You've now seen videos, and Marcus Stroman has since retweeted this and calling him a hypocrite, and he's right. You know, Dennis Eckersley getting a strikeout and pointing at the batter like, yeah, gotcha. Like, dude, you were Marcus Stroman and you're playing this.
Yeah, but before Dennis Eckersley threw his no-hitter for the Indians in the 70s, the final batter, and I forget who it was, he pointed at him and told him to get the F in the box so he could strike him out, which he did because Eck was awesome. You know the whole Eck thing, though? I think that comes from being around the team, knowing how they feel about Stroman. He's the team broadcaster.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know you're hearing all these things. I guarantee you they were talking about Marcus Stroman before that game yesterday. This guy is so in their heads. And I'll tell you what, Alex Cora, why don't you stop being so sensitive about Marcus Stroman's actions and antics? Stop trying to save baseball from the scourge that is Marcus Stroman and come up with a game plan to hit this guy because he shoved it up your tailpipes again yesterday.
You know what, before I get to this next thing, I want to bring in Jay in Shirley, the town, who wants to talk about Marcus Stroman. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, guys. Absolutely agree. I think it's all about location, 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 and sour grapes. If he were here, like you guys have been saying, we would love it. I want Stroman here. I think he'd be a great three-man behind Price and Sale. First, I was going to ask if you guys wanted him. Apparently you do.
But oh, yeah.
Do you think it's possible? And what do you think it would take to get him, especially with all this sell, like it's been talked about today? I mean, we could get him. I don't know what his contract is, but there's got to be a path there, right? And is that something you guys think we should do?
I actually have Stroman's. I've got Stroman's contract details right here. There's a good chance he gets moved at the deadline because the Blue Jays are
awful. Not going to do anything.
He's making $7.4 million this year, and he's got another arbitration year remaining. So he's got a year and a half left. He's a controllable starter. He's 28 years old. He's having a great year. I don't think the Red Sox would be interested in him because I don't think they're interested in a starter. But if they were, I kind of feel like it would cost them more than they have in their system. They have Baseball America ranked their system dead last entering the year. The Yankees, though, I could see them absolutely getting Marcus Stroman.
Oh, wouldn't that be somewhat delicious? Hey, if he landed here, though, also in terms of the, for the ironic effect, that would be hysterical.
I'd love it. I mean, I love this
now
picture.
Now you're going to welcome in. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I loved him for a long time. Yeah.
Carl in Grafton seemed to be a fan of the antics, if you want to call them that, from Marcus Stroman yesterday. Hey, Carl.
Marcus Stroman is the United States winning pitcher from the World Baseball Classic, if anybody cares about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and they beat Puerto Rico, and he wouldn't play for Team Puerto Rico, and I think Cora took that personally.
Oh, so is this what this stems from?
That's what Stroman has suggested that.
Like he's right, yeah.
Huh.
I don't think he would come here. You'd have to pay him. You'd have to back up the Brinks truck to go across sports. But I don't think the fire is what makes him good. Like, he's excited about it. And you guys were talking about it earlier about how hypocritical, Remy and Eckersley and those other players that played 30 years ago feel about this guy when they used to do a lot of the same stuff. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Thanks Carl. And, you know, so I would have, I guess, digested what that the broadcast crew said yesterday about Marcus Stroman, if they maybe said, hey, look, you're on a losing team, time and a place.
Yeah.
You know, if they kind of, I don't know, if they said that kind of thing, I think it would have been a little bit easier for me to take. But I just felt still like the old grandpas in baseball that, like, don't like the young man acting a certain way. And there's an unwritten rule here. Like, it's baseball's unwritten rules that sometimes make me so crazy. Like, no, the game needs fun. It needs things like this.
Oh, I couldn't
and the
agree.
Guy, like, you know, yelling at the dugout and that kind of thing.
Right. And, you know, and if the batter can pimp a home run, why can't you do that when you strike him out? It goes both ways. Really does. It's the dumbest one of all the dumb things about baseball, Jim. This is like top five.
So, well, here's another one, at least in terms of, you know, common sense. The other thing that happened this week, and I wanted to just quickly get your thoughts on, is that yet another fan hospitalized, a young woman whacked in the head by a foul ball from Cody Bellinger at Dodger Stadium yesterday. A girl was sitting four rows from the field along the first baseline beyond Dodger Stadium's protective netting, clocked by a sharp line drive. She ended up going to the hospital. Thankfully, she's going to survive, and there's no brain damage based on anything that I've read today. But it just proves to me yet again, Matt, that the Nets have to go from home plate to the foul poles. They have to, and you can't leave it up to the team's discretion. The one thing that's annoyed me about this, because you hear more and more in the last just a handful of seasons of these type of incidents happening at ballparks throughout Major League Baseball, you can't leave it up to the team's discretion. Major League Baseball is like, yeah, no, the teams can do it, and they'll get to it when they get to it. No, Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred and the powers that be need to step in and say, no, we're doing this and fixing it now at every ballpark.
This was a no-brainer. I was at Fenway Park the night. Remember when that woman was hit by the...
Yes.
That's the worst thing I've ever seen or heard at a ballpark. I was up the first baseline where they took her out. You can put nets all around the place. I don't care. After seeing what happened that night, I don't want to ever see anything like that happen at a ballpark again. That was awful. Protect the fans.
Yeah, and the Nets, if you've sat behind them,
yeah,
after like an inning or two, you realize, like, oh, I didn't even notice.
You kind of get used to it.
You get used to it. It's not that big of a deal. And the thing is, again, these incidents have been, I feel like, have ramped up here in recent years. Maybe that's because the ball is juiced. And for any of you that, like, want to say, like, well, how bad can it get? Well, again, someone died last year, and it was underreported. A woman by the name of Linda Goldblum, August 25th, at Dodger Stadium, in the top of the ninth inning in that game. Dodgers closer Kenley Jansen throws a 93-mile-an-hour fastball. Padres hitter turn on the pitch, and it goes right back into the stands. It clocks this poor woman at 79 years old in the head. She's rushed to the hospital. She died 4 days later, and according to the coroner's report, it was confirmed that Goldblum had been killed by head trauma caused by the foul ball. So there you go. You've had a death just last year. The Nets, home plate to the foul poles in every ballpark, and you have to do it again before someone else dies. And I'm typically not one of these old nanas that's a finger wagging like this, Matt McCarthy. But this, it's just common sense. I think common sense should be practiced here. That's all.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.